T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome, welcome. It is great to be here with you. It is a beautiful Tuesday outside. That's a total lie, but we're trying to work positive. It's like El Nino is here.
Soon, for sure.
Is there a day where El Nino officially arrives?
Well, technically, this storm front is not totally related to El Nino, but okay. It's expected more in January. I learned that on the news.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Are we calling these tamales El Nino? It's Tamale Tuesday here.
It's Tamale Tuesday.
It's a Tuesday trifecta Tuesday.
Oh.
It's a Tamale Tuesday. Gianna has made her Christmas tamales and brought them in.
Yes.
It is something I'm very looking forward to. We're going to open up. It's not. She didn't just make tamales. Of course, Gianna's not going to make tamales. She makes tamales and like 4 other things are in the bag.
It's just a bunch of goodies for some of my favorite people.
Including napkins. You're such a mom.
Well, you know, if you wanted to eat it here, I wanted you to be prepared. There's a little adult libations in there, too.
I see that. We got, like, little bottles of champagne. This is wonderful. You're the best. Thank you so much.
I try.
Even the button vixen is handing out holiday cards.
The best card.
I'm bringing my cards tomorrow for everyone. And, yeah, look at it this way. Button vixen today isn't just bouton vixen. She's Bouton Vixen Woodson. She's wearing her Charles Woodson jersey. Wearing her Charles Woodson jersey, and I'm guessing that if you got a Charles Woodson jersey, you probably grabbed for it last night, and you might be throwing it on to watch this weekend in Oakland, and maybe it's the last time Raider fans are getting together in Northern California to watch a football game. I hope I'm wrong. I hope that doesn't happen. I hope that's not the theme of this coming up Thursday, a goodbye party. Because there's no conclusion, you almost have to throw the goodbye party, even though you're not sure anyone's leaving. It's like, you know, no one told me that Gianna was going to go work somewhere else, but there was, you know, a hint that she might, so we better make this last show special. And then she comes back on Monday. We're all going to feel pretty stupid about it, but no, but it's just weird.
Yeah.
The fact that here you are. With a heartbeat left in this season, a move that's supposed to happen next season, and we are no closer to a solution today than we were 3 years ago. I mean, it's amazing. There's not even the hint, the buzz, that is going to say, well, we all know who it's going to be by now. It's just a matter of time before the NFL votes on it. Nothing conclusive being reported from any precincts. Can we get like 538.com? Can Nate Silver get on this? Is there any math that he can throw on to his prediction model to tell us how this whole thing plays out? Meanwhile, from the text line, Damon, just at lunch, I saw Jed York and Trent Dilfer talking in a cafe in Los Gatos. Jed looks stressed out. Now, when I first read this, I thought you were seeing Jed York and Trent Baalke, but then I said, it's Trent Dilfer. Maybe that's the Niners quarterback next year. Maybe Dilfer's coming back.
You think? Yeah.
You know what?
Can you imagine?
Thanks to this text line, I'm breaking the news right now. Can we get the breaking news sounder? Can we please cue the breaking news sounder? I'm about to get every single 49er fan excited for the holidays. The Damon Bruce Show is reporting that the 49ers are signing Trent Dilfer to a 6-year, $100 million contract. No trade. Full ability to install his own offense. Trent Dilfer is the future of the San Francisco 49ers. I think it's been pretty obvious for a while now.
Please don't hold me it against the ladies.
Don't hold it against the ladies. You realize that somebody innocently just turned the radio on, and I now have to let everyone know Trent Dilfer did not sign with the Niners. But I'm telling you, it's that crazy where if that happened, I don't even know if it would make me blink twice. We have lovingly prepared the 12 Days of York Miss. It is in, it's in production right now.
Very good. I was waiting for this.
Tomorrow we will have the 12 Days of York Miss, whether it's ready to go or not, because I said to Danny, the joke's not funny, on December 26th. So we're going to have to get to it on our final day of the week, which is going to be tomorrow. So our 12 Days of York Miss is going to be amazing. We got a Tuesday trifecta for you. We got Tony Bruno in an hour from now. Harrison Barnes is at 5 o'clock. Andrew Brandt at 6 o'clock. We're going to be talking about Charles Woodson today. We're going to take all the personal touches and zings away from the Tom Sula era and just really look at him as a coach. And I'll tell you what I don't like about him when I look at it. And what we also need to talk about today is that, now, not only are we at the holidays, but this means that we're at the end of the year. I guess maybe we should start looking back at 2015 a little bit. A writer over at SB Nation named Jack Whitcare wrote an article about how Steph Curry's 2015 needs to go down in sports history. And then he took it a step further, saying that there is an argument to be made that Steph Curry's 2015 was maybe the greatest single year any human has ever lived in a calendar year. Like, he just had one massive year. We will go through all the stuff that he did at the office that he was pretty darn good at, and then we'll go into all the stuff that's happening off the court for him. Steph Curry just had a monster 2015. We'll have a little advice for you. I know that some people listen to talk radio, so they have a little something to talk about when they get home at night. I always take it as a compliment when I hear someone say, I was listening to your show, D. Bruce, and I brought this point up to my buddies. Tonight, Gianna, I will give you a roadmap to savings that you can talk with your wife or your husband or your significant other about. I've got some really good table chatter that will save your family money.
Interesting.
That's called a tease, boys and girls. We're going to get to that a little bit later on. We have so much for you today. We got open lines this hour at 888-957-9570. Let's see on the text line. This is always weird. This is, you know, I assume that sometimes I'm the guy that people point at and go, well, he's why we can't have nice things here at 95.7 The Game. It's not always just me, though. John and Papa, they do their part. First text on the text line today is, way to keep it classy, 95.7, with one woman singing Silent Night while masturbating. You just lost a listener. Here's what's hysterical. Our program director, Don, ran into the office and was like, you got to see this. This is awesome.
Oh, God. Seriously?
So there you go. We're all on the same page here. We have a unified front, and we will have a vibrating silent night if we damn well feel like it. And don't hold it against the ladies. It's not their fault. Here on 95.7 The Game.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
The text line says, hey, Damon, the Raiders are going to be signing yet another one-year lease for 2016. Then they'll do it again when the NFL doesn't figure out L.A. in 2017 or 2018. And please play more Silent Night. No, I'm not going back to Silent Night. I'll tell you that. I'm going to leave that for someone else to play. We honor Christmas in a much different way. We have our own Christmas theme that is much better than anything that could ever be recorded sitting on a, well, it's like a saddle more than it is a vibrator, isn't it?
I guess.
You guess.
I guess.
Yeah, you guess. I'm in the Christmas mood. Let's go to Michael in San Jose. What's up, Michael? How are you?
Hello, hello.
How are you, man?
I'm very good. I just wanted to send a shout out to you guys. You guys are awesome. Dan and Bruce, always keeping it real. Remind me, you're not old enough to be my dad, but reminds me of what my dad used to always say. He used to say, I call it like I see it. And I think you do that
Thank you.
Business. And the perfect balance of Gianna, such a sweetheart, such a great voice for radio. You guys just make an awesome team. And I just wanted to do that and tell you Merry Christmas. Thanks for being awesome, enjoyable part of my day every day when I get to listen to you guys. So Merry Christmas. Happy New Year's.
Michael, too. Thank you.
Michael, thank you so much. Now, the last thing I want is for this show to turn into one slippery kiss and embrace.
But, I love kisses and embrace.
But that was pretty nice, Michael.
Me.
Thank you very, very much. I'm as close to blushing as I will allow myself to get at the radio station. But I kind of felt this. I kind of felt the same way when Gianna said she was bringing tamales, though, too. love and hunger, it really is. These are powerful emotions.
Thank you.
That's very nice. Very, very nice. No, I look, here's how excited we are about Christmas. I got a little something for, you know, Bouton, Vixen, and Danny. I got a little something, you know, just a little something for me to them tomorrow. No big deal, no big whoop.
Right.
And
you like that? You like that?
Don't get too
excited, Danny.
I'm gonna tell you right now, Danny.
Yes.
Don't get excited. Do not get excited. Don't boo the notion of me buying you Christmas gifts either. That can't work out well. But look at me getting you Christmas gifts. Is that going to sit well with a rabbi? Is it going to be okay?
I said the same thing. I know it's not Christmas, but here.
Here you go.
Christmas.
Merry whatever. I'm buying Star Wars figures for Falcon today.
That is the coolest thing on the planet.
Oh, my God. I got Gianna's son a Christmas gift that I almost regret telling her about because now I'm going to have to give it. I almost want to keep them. These are old. Remember G.I. Joes used to come in bigger size, like kind of like Barbie doll tall action figures? These are six of the Star Wars characters in the new movie, all Barbie doll size, and they look awesome.
He's going to go bananas.
And I know your son's a little young, but these are going to be the toys that he plays with growing up in his childhood. I promise you. Like, I just nailed this thing so bad. I'm excited. I want to come over and play with Falcon now in these toys. You're going to have to remove all the chokeable parts.
Of course.
All the choky parts. I'm not responsible. If something goes wrong, may the force be with all of you, but hold me not accountable.
He will be fine. Right. He calls action figures guys. Like, he says, can I get my guys? I'm like, yeah, he's going to have a whole box of Star Wars guys. Are you kidding me? That's one happy kid.
The guys, the boys, the fellas. He's going to have the whole galaxy when Uncle Damon's done.
Aw, thank you, Damon.
I'm excited. It's funny. I don't want kids, but I'd be thrilled to borrow yours for some Christmas morning joy that cannot grow in my cold lump of coal heart.
It's not totally lump of coal.
Oh, there it is. Just that warms it up.
It's the most depressing Christmas song ever.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you.
Come on, boobie time. Boobie time. It's beautiful.
It's gorgeous.
It's from Peanuts.
Yeah.
In a weird, distorted, very warped way.
Version, yeah.
Tony Bruno's coming up at 4. We've got Harrison Barnes at 5. Andrew Brandt is at 6 o'clock. We got Dave in Palo Alto. Dave, how are you? Happy holidays. What's going on?
Hey, Dave, thanks for taking my call. Like the previous caller said, I enjoy listening to you guys. You know, my short ride home, I turn on to 95.7. Appreciate your insight this past year. You know, I follow the Niners, the Warriors intensely. And, you know, all the information you provide for the 49ers is right on point. It's what I tell people at work. You know, it's like the point with the fans, the stadium being empty on Sunday. Like you said, it doesn't matter. The owner's going to make money off WWE, off Taylor Swift. It doesn't matter. The 8 home games we have throughout the year, the ticket's already bought.
Right. So you would think that if you went ahead and built a new stadium for your football team, your football team's games in that stadium would probably be the most important things happening in that stadium. It is the opposite of that down at Levi's Stadium. The Niner games are the afterthoughts. The Taylor Swift show is what they built the whole thing for. And the Super Bowl will be, like I said, the stadium is a really good neutral site. As long as you don't have a rooting interest in there, it's fine.
Right. And you bring in this coach. It's kind of what Jerry Jones did. If you remember the Dallas Cowboys, he brought in Bill Parcells.
You know, it kind of helped build that new place that he has down in Dallas. So, you know, he used Jim Harbaugh. He got what he wanted. Now he has Tom Sula as a head coach, and he's comfortable. He has the coach he wants. He has the stadium he wants. He has your guys' money, so you can fly banners all you want. I think the only silver lining of the light is in his tunnel. Only way, if you're a Niners fan, you want the 49ers to come out of this mess. The owners have to think this guy's bad for business. And if they can come together.
He's not, though. I mean, that's the thing. He's making money hand over fist for his NFL partners. The money is up front. He's already collected it. There's no amount of, oh, the season went off the rails that prevents him from making a nickel. The beer sales, the nacho sales, the Frankfurters, the vegan dogs, whatever the hell they're trying to sell you, is only a small sliver of the pie. He's got the rest of the pie. The small sliver is not even a big deal. This is Ricky in Danville. What's going on, Ricky?
Hey, how's it going, Damon?
How are you?
Happy holidays.
Back at you.
I was calling with the Fairweather fans at Santa Clara Levi Stadium. I'm a season ticket holder at the stadium, and I'm just like, never have I been so ashamed of my fan base in my life. I'm going at it with these guys on Facebook groups. It's like, it's ridiculous. The definition of a Fairweather fan is only showing up whenever they're winning. Now that our season's basically a losing season, no one's to be seen, and they want to put a quote-unquote boycott on it.
Well, it's not ridiculous. A boycott because the tickets were already sold, so there's nothing to boycott.
Exactly.
Here's the deal. People liked going to San Francisco to watch the 49ers. It was a little bit of a pilgrimage to someplace special. And when you were there, if you wanted to do something before or after the game, you could. Now the day revolves only around watching the dullest football team in the NFC, and you got to drive to a place that you wouldn't go unless you worked to build a microchip in your life. Nobody likes going to Santa Clara for anything. Nothing. That's a big part of the problem. That's a big part of the disconnect. There's no more romance of like, come on, kids, we're getting in the car and we're going to the city by the bay. Now you're going to some strip mall.
But it's still our home.
That's part of the problem, too, because you built home where it shouldn't be. And I'm not going to take a single stupid call about, well, the Cowboys play in Arlington. Giants and Jets play in New Jersey. Yeah, since when have we ever used another city standard to define what we think is right here in San Francisco? The stadium is the embodiment of an owner who thought his way was right, and everything that is directly connected to his way is wrong, like the stadium and every hire not named Jim Harbaugh. Jim Tom Sula. That is all Jed York. But you know what? When we come on back here, what I want to get into is what I don't like about Jim Tom Sula, but not in any funny way. We're not going to tell any jokes. What I really don't like him is what he is as a coach. And I'm going to separate that from the rest of the Niners, and I'm going to do that next here on 95.7 The Game.
The Damon Bruce Show. 95.7 The Game. Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
I understand that to a lot of people, the Niner game is nothing more than the TV show that you're watching. And where the stadium sits and who's sitting in the stadium never really meant much to you because you're not the type of person who was on your way to the stadium anyways. I'm going to tell you, as a football fan who's in a lot of stadiums, I think to myself, I could be having more fun at home all the time. And the 49ers built Levi's Stadium very much with all their minds on bells and whistles because that was what people thought in order to suck people into your stadium. Since the viewing experience at home is so good, you need to have all the bells and whistles and creature comforts of a living room now offered in a stadium. That is a huge miscalculation.
Yeah.
The only thing that matters in your stadium on a football Sunday is the football game. And when you take attention off it, it feels like your attention somewhere it shouldn't be. This is the resonating feeling of uninterested when you're in Levi's Stadium or just not dialed into the foot? You know, what down is it? What's the score? Feels like questions that would be asked throughout the entire stadium because no one's really paying much attention to the game. So many other things going on. It is the physical embodiment of the wrong idea, which this new ownership group is. Well, there's nothing really new about them, but it's just the new results are in. And everyone pretty much realizes that all the success over the last 4 years was attributed to the one guy who isn't here anymore. And without him, what are you left with? You don't like what you're left with. With all the wine and cheese nonsense that was put on the Niners, okay? With all the, like, white wine sipper is my nickname and all this stuff. And he was a great fan. He really is. But there was this wine and cheese stereotype that got put on the Niners unfairly, almost as unfairly as the tatted up prison gang stereotype that was attached to the Raiders. And neither defined the vast majority of the fan base. Like all football fan bases, you're talking about blue collar, hardworking people. Blue collar, the Niners games, candlestick games were blue collar experiences. There's nothing blue-collar about Levi's Stadium. As a matter of fact, if you wear a blue-collar to work, chances are you've been priced out, even though those tickets were your granddad's at Kezar's.
That's unfortunate.
And that is just another wrinkle in what makes people upset. For the guy who said, Damon, look, I'm tired of these fans. They're not being very faithful. Fans have reached the tipping point, and there is a savviness to people in Northern California. There's an education level, there's a success level where people understand when they're being played for a sucker. And that's how this all looks at. Fans, Niner fans, Raider fans, and reasonable people everywhere understand that no team can sustain excellence at all times. Every team is cyclical. The good teams shorten the gaps between their good cycles and their bad cycles more than the bad teams leave long gaps between their cycles of good and bad. This ownership group looks like it's about to cycle you into a bad run that you're not going to get out of. And they really hoped, because they knew the team was going to get worse the minute they fired Harbaugh, and they knew that they were firing Harbaugh before they even moved into that stadium last year. They hoped that the allure of the stadium would be enough to pull you in. New Niner consumer season ticket holder brand of person. It's not. It turns out even those fans wanted more football than what you're giving them. Here's another major problem. We can recognize incompetence here in the Bay Area. And unfortunately, Jim Tom Sula, look, I've been unfair to the guy at times. There's no doubt. There's no doubt I have held my dislike about the move out of the city, Levi Stadium itself, Jed York, Trent Baalke. There's no doubt that I've transferred some of my being upset about that stuff onto him. And we have, look, he's like a present from the sports talk radio gods.
Yes, he is.
All right. I mean, if we had to dial up a coach to tease and make fun of on sports talk radio, we would have drawn Jim Tom Sula. It's like Jessica Rabbit. I'm not bad. I'm just drawn that way. Like, Jim Tom Sula is not a bad guy, but he's just drawn this way. Holding no sins of the franchise against him, which I'll admit I have. I lump things together. I hold Jim sins against him, Jed sins against him. But look, this is a team that went from an NFC title game appearance to expecting to be in the NFC title game to actually being in the NFC title game all those years in a row to a Super Bowl to an 8-8 season that was sinister because that's the way Jed and Trent made it. Now you're right to the bottom. Jim Tom Sula was part of the good, but now unfortunately he leads the bad. And it's not him. He's a good guy. My big problem with Jim Tom Sula really isn't even the press conferences, because like I said, that's just great show fodder. when something goes wrong, when something goes awkward, there's more for me to work with than when something goes to according to plan. If you don't believe me, ask Steve Harvey. Seriously. But don't blame the ladies.
No, don't do that.
Don't blame the women. It's not their fault.
Please don't hold it against the ladies.
Don't hold it against them. Stop holding it against them. Would you please? Why I don't like Jim Tomsula as a football coach is as follows. He's scared to play, and scared money don't make none. Going for one this last weekend, when it was the textbook on the card going for two situation, all the examples of games where he's punting at the end instead of going for it at fourth down when the game's out of reach, all the laying down in the fourth quarter, the not trying to strike, the I'll take what you give me attitude of a football coach is the wrong attitude for a head football coach. You got to be aggressive. You got to play hungry. You got to coach unafraid. This guy is afraid of his own shadow as a head coach. He is afraid of what the scoreboard might look like at the end of the game. He knows he's being evaluated week to week. There's nothing about him that says long term, which means he's not the long term answer. And now's not a time for a short term solution. He coaches scared on game day. What more do you need to know? He's scared. He's scared to make a mistake. He's scared to be too aggressive. And if scared's the wrong word, pick whatever word you want to put in there and just agree that when it comes time to either go for it and make this our last stand right here or fold up the tent, sort of punt, and maybe trying to, he chooses the former or the latter. He is always ready to, well, I was playing field position. Just, again, right from his quote from after the game. When asked why he kicked the point after touchdown instead of going for two, quote, I was looking for the other side of that. Because when we score, if something happens there with one of those 2-point conversions, now you're chasing that point. So I chose the other option. Jim, buddy, you're not chasing the point you may not score. You're chasing the Cincinnati Bengals right now. You know, forget about the scenario that might have been in play. Here's the scenario that is in play. You're down 24 to nothing and time is running out fast. Did that not compute? You know what it really was? Do you want to know why he went for one, Gianna? You want to know why he went for one? Because he wanted everybody to go online and see that the Niners had scored a touchdown. Because six could have meant two field goals. Seven means we scored a touchdown today, everybody. And I really think that's why he went for one. To prove I can score a touchdown. Which hasn't happened much.
And keep in mind, Damon, on the next drive, the Niners had a 4th and 19. Probably had to kick the field goal, but they're down 24-7. 17 points. They go for the field goal. It gets blocked. They could have gone for, you know, if you're down two scores still, 16 points, you're going for the touchdown.
Yeah. When they recovered that onside kick at the end of the game, people were like, yeah, it doesn't matter. Because what you need to do here is now score and go recover another onside kick.
Right.
If you think that's easier to do than convert two point conversions, you're crazy. Scared money don't play, and scared money doesn't win big. Now, I'm not saying that you need to walk into the casino first play of your afternoon, put $500 on double bullets and let the roulette wheel spin. I'm not saying go nuts. I don't want this to be the run and gun Niners either. There are times where, all right, we're going to punt. We're going to play a little field position. But end of the game, clock running out, scoreboard lopsided, isn't that time. That's my problem with Tomsula. It's not his press conferences. It's not how he got the job. It's that in his job, he has failed. I don't like scared head football coaches. Neither do you. Let's go to Larry in San Francisco. What's up, Larry?
Hey, you know, I was just thinking about all this stuff. Like, you know, I keep hearing all the people who are all upset with Levi Stadium, PSL holders. You're an idiot if you bought a PSL for any team. If you just give a billionaire $50,000 for the right to sit down, and you're an idiot. You deserve to lose your money.
I kind of feel that same way, too. I mean, I know there's some people who love having season tickets in their family, and that's the way you got to go through with it. But it comes to a point where that's price for corporations only, man, and the ultra-rich.
But, Joe, this is the next thing I want to look at. You know, first of all, even with Harbaugh, this team maybe has two more wins. This is a bad team. It is barely a team. It's like a college scrim team or something. Second of all, you know, I drive a lot of people in Uber, a lot of 49er fans. It's only the rich people who spend $50,000 really that upset. We saw this was coming. You know, this was happening. We're still football fans. We watch them. I watch them every game they lose. I've watched every game for 10 years. Horrible. You know, and I'll watch every losing game complaining and yelling at the TV like,
right. The guy who throws his remote across the room and says, I'm never watching again, is their kickoff next week 99% of the time. Every Sunday, exactly. Every Sunday, I renounce football, and sure enough, by the Thursday night game the next week, there I am. I'm right back in the mix. That's how it always goes. People get very emotional, they overreact, but they always come back. Always. And if everyone who said, I'm never watching again, never watched again, football wouldn't be the most popular sport in America. When we come on back, your calls will wrap up this hour. Tony Bruno is waiting for us next hour. So is almost the couldn't argue against it in a court of law case to be made that Steph Curry just had the greatest 2015 in the history, well, of the calendar year of 2015 anyways. He had a monster calendar year. Make sure you stick around. We are just underway here on 95.7 The Game.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
From the text line, Nick in San Francisco writes, excuse me, he writes SSF, which means South San Francisco.
Gotta get it straight.
The crown jewel of the peninsula, South San Francisco. Damon, can a guy get a year to learn how to be a coach? I mean, you're going in pretty hard on a first-year guy. Well, yeah, that's the standard we're going to put on your guy who looked wildly unqualified and proved himself just that. Look, if he wanted to be a head coach, he should have been a defensive coordinator. He should have been an offensive coordinator. He wasn't. He was a position coach. Nobody gets promoted from position coach to head coach in a football universe that makes any sense. He completely skipped a step, and that's why it looks like he's missing so many of the ingredients that I'm guessing you learn in that step. There's a huge difference between coaching 11 guys and 52 guys. You know, he's coaching a small group on a team. Now he's coaching the entire team. He went from, hey, you know, bludgeon, 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 which is famous line, bludgeon, bludgeon, that video with him screaming bludgeon on the sideline. He went from that being pretty much his game day strategy, just screaming bludgeon at your linemen, to now he's the head coach of this whole thing. And you need way more savvy than repeating the word bludgeon over and over again to win on NFL Sundays.
And I'll give you a couple games, maybe even three, to kind of work it out. Try yourself on the road. But
sure.
You're an NFL head coach.
Right.
You need to be ready. You need to be good to go. Look, work out the kinks, but the rest of the seat, you got to be on it. That's your job.
Gianna works with me. Do you even realize how much patience that takes? And you've run out of patience.
A lot.
Oh, it's not.
Oh,
But seriously, everybody's run out of... Look, I mean, if it walks like a duck, if it looks like a duck, if it quacks like a duck, it might be Jim Tom Sula. Let's go to Corey, Redwood City. How are you, Corey?
Hey, Damon, how's it going?
Doing well, thank you.
Hey, good. First time caller. You know, I just wanted to touch base with you on what you were talking about with Levi Stadium and the season ticket holders. I'm 28. I'm fairly young to be... what would be a season ticket holder back at Candlestick, but it basically came up through my family. I mean, I even bought the seats from Candlestick. They're sitting in my garage right now. And like you said, the product on the field is just a degradation of what it was before it. You know, how can you blame people for not wanting to watch? It's not that you're a Fairweather fan, it's that you're a football fan, and the product on the field is not good football.
Well, and everyone who was buying a ticket thought that they were buying a ticket to a ride that looks nothing like the one the rental car dropped off. You know, I mean, it is one of the all-time bait and switches from what you thought you were getting moving into a new stadium to what you really got. I mean, it's staggering. I mean, a guy just tweeted me, like, I spent that money on a PSL because I thought I was buying into, like, the dawn of a decade of Harbaugh, and not at all.
It's just unbelievable the bait and switch on a franchise team like this. A team that has the history that it does, and the fact that they want to come back in and just sell tickets to a team that's a little league team. I mean, it's not even – the coach isn't even up to the standards of an NFL team, you know? He doesn't know how many timeouts he has. He doesn't know, you know, what down it is. It's not a good product, and it makes it hard to be a fan of the product on the field, and it has nothing to do with being a 49er faithful. If anything – you're 49ers faithful because you expect a better product.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Like, this whole notion, I never liked that. The minute they started selling you the word faithful, it never sat well with me. It never sat well with me. You know, I mean, it's just tacky.
Damon, you notice how the rumors about Harbaugh came out after the move to Levi's Stadium once the PSLs had been purchased?
Oh, right. Oh, yeah.
They weren't coming out beforehand.
Yeah, the whisper campaign didn't even come close to beginning until the ribbon-cutting ceremony was done. I never said Jed York was stupid. I just said he's bad at what he does. Bad at what he does if you're a fan. If you're Jed York's wallet, you think Jed York is a genius.
Because, yeah, that wallet's full.
If you're Jed York's accountant, you think Jed York is a genius. If you're Denise, you probably think your son has done a spectacular job. If you are, he's got a cute son. What's his son's name? If you're York's baby, Jackson. If you're Jackson York, you probably think your dad's great. I'm sure his wife loves him dearly. I'm sure the charities he's involved with are thankful for the money he gives them. But if you're a Niner fan, you have to hate the guy right now. I mean, it's if you're a Niner fan who just thinks that Jed York has done a bang up job and you're really proud of everything that's going on here, I'd love to hear from you at 888-957-9570. I don't think you're out there. I don't think the human that thinks Jed York has done a good job lives. But we also live in a world where people love Skip Bayless, and I can't believe there's a single human that would ever do that. Hey, I'm just going to take the most inflammatory position on everything and then throw gasoline on that.
Do you think Jed York,
the entire guy's career,
feels a little bad for all the hate that he gets from the fans now? I mean, do you think there's a piece of him that kind of is like, oh man, you know, maybe next year I really should focus a little more, and maybe, because the Niners can't continue like this. This is not how you run a football team.
If he makes a coaching change, then yes, it's absolutely getting to him. If Jim Tomsula is your head coach, he is as insulated in his billion-dollar room of wealth as a human can be, and it means nothing. There's no getting through to the guy. He has to know. I promise you, he's invited to less dinners. He's asked to show up in fewer places. Whatever he thought I'm sure he thought that during Super Bowl week, he would be walking around with a very small security detail on Market Street, just getting handshakes and hugs from everybody.
Yeah.
I would imagine that the very best Jed York can do around his own stadium falls under the category of skulking. He skulks around his stadium, only walking down the corridors where he bumps into people that he's directly doing business with. So there's a multi-million dollar basis to the friendship, not just some fan who's only there to watch the Niners win that day. I can promise you this, Jed York hasn't strutted through his concourse once. I would love to see that. Jed York, here is my challenge to you. Since you will not do any media until the end of the year, in your final home game, take one lap around your extra wide, super proud of it concourse. and see how that goes.
I think it's going to go well.
See how that goes. I don't think that there is a more awkward walk in the world of sports than Jed York once around his own concourse.
That'd be a walk of shame.
And that pretty much sums up the entire fans' critique of him. It really does. You can't even walk the concourse in the new stadium you just built.
That says a lot.
There's no way he would make it. There's no way he would make the entire lap. And it's only a big reverse C because it's all luxury boxes on one side. So it's not even a full 360. He couldn't even make it the big reverse C around the concourse. I'm convinced that he would actually need security at some point. 888-957-9570. If you are on hold, stay there. But coming up next, the one and the only, Tony Bruno.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.